Have you ever misplaced your cell phone? I have, and I get very concerned because if I misplace that cell phone, which is a small computer, and if that gets into the wrong hands, then someone could steal my information, my data, my personal and financial information. So I try my very best to find that cell phone just as soon as possible, to again protect that information and also to keep connected with family and friends and to be reminded of various obligations that I have. I used to golf a little bit, and sometimes when I was out golfing, I would lose a ball out in the brush. Well, I didn't look very hard for that. I would take another one out of the golf bag and continue playing. Now, have you ever lost something and not bothered to look for it? What does that say about the value of the object that you had? From Jesus' teaching today, we know that we are valuable to God. However, we do get lost at times, but God would never lose or forget us. Today in our gospel reading, we heard about the parables of the lost. Those parables are unique to Luke's gospel. Luke wrote this gospel at a time when the Christian community was suffering a great controversy. Many of the Jewish Christians were indignant that Gentiles would be welcomed into the church without first embracing the traditions and the laws of Judaism. So in these parables, we enter into God's world. The message is about the depth of God's unconditional love and complete forgiveness. God's mercy breaks through and diminishes all of those human rules. For example, who would ever think about leaving 99 sheep out in the pasture and going to find a lost one? That just seems impossible for us to think about. And the Pharisees, too, they could not imagine a God who actually sought out that one lost sheep or the lost men and women that Jesus was dining with at table with sinners. The Pharisees just could not comprehend a God who was more merciful in judgments than they were, a God who never gives up hope for the lost. However, in the first reading, we may get a little different view of God and of God's mercy, although it's there, isn't it? And in that reading, the Israelites, they've just been freed from slavery, and they recognize that God's great miracles allowed them to escape Egypt, to move out of the slavery that they were in. But what did they do? They made a statue, a calf statue, molten calf. They needed something that they could see, I guess, in order to worship. So they declared that this calf was their God and brought them out of Egypt. And the reading then said that God was angered, and God says to Moses, "May my wrath blaze upon them to consume them." Now, in other words, he was saying, "I ought to destroy them to make a new Israelite people out of you, Moses." And Moses recognized the evil of the people, but he asked God to be merciful. Why? Because of those past promises that we heard about to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Exodus story informs us then of God's mercy, that God's mercy is always available in the face of sin and reconciliation. The second reading is also about mercy. Paul explains in 1 Timothy that he was once a persecutor of God's people. And he doesn't gloss over those terrible acts. He doesn't gloss over his own evil. But Paul says that he obtained mercy from God anyway, because God could see the person that he could become. So for the sake of the person, Paul could be in the future, God had mercy on him. The parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin in the gospel helped people in Luke's days and in ours learn about the great hope and the intimate mercy of God. Through those two parables, Jesus emphasized the revelation of a God who loves each and every one of us uniquely and individually, just as a parent loves his or her most beloved child. God's love for that sheep, that one that was the furthest away, lost in the distance, in the deepest crevice. Yes, God's love, just as it was for that one sheep, is also for us. It is eternally forgiving. It is constantly inviting, never limited or conditional. God includes all. Our God is a God of inclusion. Yet sometimes people try to make God a God of exclusion, excluding from our presence those deemed unworthy or unfaithful to be included among God's people. And you know, that is the thinking that the Pharisees had at the time of Jesus, that there were people who should be excluded. It also challenges us in the modern world to think about that a bit. Are there people that we might exclude from our circle as well? So to forgive as Christ forgives is impossible for us to do on our own. It calls for a spirit of humility, a generosity, a spirit of compassion that is really difficult for we human beings. But we're not called by Christ to muster up our own forgiveness on our own. God has already forgiven. So we now are being asked to participate in God's gift of forgiveness, of God's grace that has been given to each and every one of us. Grace is the result of God's complete and unconditional love for our lives. Sometimes we experience grace in the support and love of a generous family member or friends, and then sometimes we are the agents of grace ourselves, and we give and we do whatever is necessary for the good of one another, helping those in need. And we do a lot of that here at St. Thomas More Parish. Yes, we also help to search for the lost, and then we share in their joy as they're found and as they are reunited. God did not lose the one sheep. God always knew where that one sheep was. However, that one sheep lost God. Sometimes we may feel lost, but God always knows where we are. Rather, we sometimes lose God, we forget about God, we forget that we are the most valuable to God. So I'd like to leave you with a question here this evening that maybe you could ponder on over this week. What is it I need to find to help me feel more present and closer to God's unconditional love?